I'm so very pleased to introduce as our speaker, Mr. Ed Huskisson. Ed was born, raised, and received his educational degrees in Great Britain. He began with Swift & Company in 1948 in Toronto. In 1960, he moved to Chicago, and in 1964, became the president of the International Division of Swift. He currently serves as its corporate vice president and secretary. He, too, is an active church leader, serving as elder and trustee of Christ Church in Oakbrook. Ed and his wife have five children, all sons, the oldest of which I became acquainted with through a newspaper clipping which appeared in Monday's paper. It reads as follows: Wheaton College quarterback Scott Hall and Western Illinois University defensive tackle Bill Huskisson, a Hinsdale Central grad, have been named to the Kodak Division II All-American football team. I guess, Ed, this is another one of your claims to fame. We're delighted to have you here today. The topic of Mr. Huskisson's remarks this morning are your greatest gift. Join me in welcoming Mr. Ed Huskisson as our speaker this morning.
Thank you, Jim. Dr. Schaefer, Chairman Weeks, Chairman Knupfer, members of the County Board, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor for me to be asked to speak to the 6th prayer breakfast in DuPage County and to see so many faces so early in the morning, but also to be part of such wonderful fellowship, such incredible music, two ladies playing an organ and a piano, not looking at each other, and neither of them have any music. I don't know how they do it. And then Myrna to come here from Elgin and sing inspirationally and with such fervor that I was impressed and felt it was time for me to go home right after she finished. Now, you can tell, as the introduction said, but by listening to me, you can also tell that I just got off the boat. Unfortunately, the introduction also gave it away that I didn't just get off the boat, but there's nothing you can do about it. I've been over here 30 years. I told Jack Canuffo that I actually pretend I come from Georgia, since very few people know what they sound like. It's safe. I also was raised on the Church of England denomination, not because I wanted to, but because I didn't know there was another one. I went in the army and they told me I was C of E, which either stands for Church of England or Christmas and Easter. When I came to Canada, I became an Anglican, which is really the same thing in a Canadian accent. And when I came down here, I became an Episcopalian. One of the things that's peculiar about that group or denomination is that it's singularly unexpressive of its faith. And I can say that because I am one. When we moved to Hinsdale in 1966, my wife, being a Baptist, and I agreed that we ought to try something a little different. So we searched, and we went in the fall of 66 to Christ Church in Oakbrook, which is a non-denominational church at the corner of 31st and York. And it seemed to be just what we were looking for, and we thoroughly enjoyed our first few years there until Reverend DeCruyter, the minister, said, "Ed, I'd like you to give a lay perspective at the Sunday evening service." Well, I thought, this is absolutely the worst possible thing that could have happened to me. Episcopalians and others like it do not give lay perspectives. They'd just rather die than say anything about their religion, because it means they've got to read it from the prayer book. And this meant I had to stand up and say something that I really believed and I really thought. And it caused me to have some very serious moments of retrospection and reflection, to think what I personally could say with about my beliefs. And the thing that I recognized was there are many turning points in my life. One of my turning points was the impact of prayer on my life. It's much too obvious a topic for a prayer breakfast to talk about prayer, but goodness knows it's a great subject. But there are other things that you think about when you think about turning points in your life. I think some of them somewhat humorous. For example, as a man, when somebody first calls you sir, you realize you've arrived. You realize middle age has arrived when somebody tells you to pull your stomach in and it's already pulled in. I tell my wife she needs glasses when she starts to read the hymn verse from the pew in front. But perhaps one of the most significant things in life is when you find out who Santa Claus is. When I was a small boy, we didn't know who Santa Claus was because we called him Father Christmas. In England, that's the name for Santa Claus. And for many, many years, we kept up the story of Father Christmas miraculously arriving, filling stockings. He doesn't come down chimneys in England. He seems to come in through the front door, which is certainly less complicated. However, one of the things as a small boy that I used to notice was the importance of the size of the gift. And kids are that way. They judge a gift by its size. They judge a gift perhaps more by its size and by its weight than they do by the wrapping. Children don't save the wrapper off a gift. The turning point again comes not just when you find out who Santa Claus is, but when you find out that it's more fun to watch others open a gift than it is to open your own. The heart and spirit of the gift is more important than the size. The giving of the gift is more important than receiving one. Let me sidetrack a moment on one other thing of my personal life which I want to share with you. I spent 4 years in the good old British Army in the artillery, and before I went in, I went over to say goodbye to an old uncle who lived in North London. He'd spent 4 years in the First World War in the Royal Horse Artillery. And he said to me, like uncles do, "Edward, do you want some advice before you go in the army?" And when you hear an uncle say that, you say, "Yes, Uncle George, I'd like to know what you've got to say." And he said, "Well, I'm going to give you some advice, but you're not going to like it, because it's not popular advice. But," he said, "my advice to you is volunteer for everything." Well, I said, "That is incredible advice. It's not what others have told me. And you certainly can get yourself into a packet of trouble in the army volunteering for everything." He said, "I know that, but eventually the sergeant will spot that you're going to and will sidetrack your volunteering into things more productive." And that was true. I had an incredible time, and I'm still having an incredible time volunteering for anything and everything. The important thing is to give of yourself without question. And this is where it relates to giving. Giving is really part of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And Jesus was a lifetime documentation of giving, leading to giving of his own life for all of us. I want to share one other thing with you about giving. Anybody who's driven along 31st Street knows that at Christ Church we've done quite a little bit of building. And we've had to raise building funds and to cover our mortgage obligations. And I was privileged to be part of one of our three-year building drives. The man who shared that responsibility with me was a man by the name of Frank Swan. Frank Swan was, and is, the president of Nationwide Beef down on Fulton Street. So he's an old meat man like me. Frank Swan and I worked at this building fund drive. We divided the church canvassing into north of Ogden Avenue and south of Ogden Avenue, which is fairly safe in DuPage anyway. And we had, at the Midwest Country Club, meetings on two successive Sundays for the canvassers. And Frank Swan spoke at each one of them, and he concluded his speech at each one of them with the phrase, "Remember, you cannot outgive God." Now, he was not talking just dollars. And I thought to myself as I speak at this breakfast, what a wonderful thing to use that as a scripture source. But it isn't in the scripture. The phrase, you cannot outgive God, isn't in the Bible in those words. So I went back to Frank and I said, where did you pick that up? He said, you won't believe it where I picked it up, but I picked it up from another meat man. Now, this man is a man of incredible personal integrity, has a story which I want to share with you. This man lives in Wheaton. He does a small meat business off a single truck, buying down in Chicago. His name is Russell Youngstrom. Russell Youngstrom, for 40 years, has been superintendent of the Chicago Gospel Mission. Lives in Wheaton, goes down there to that mission every night but one, 7 days a week. At 1125 West Madison was where it started, and 1125 West Adams is where he's established a youth mission. And that man, without pay, and his own personal input and that of his little board, has ministered to the needs of people. And they put out a pamphlet, and in that pamphlet, to support his philosophy that you cannot outgive God, it says that this mission is faithful in giving the gospel to the needy, an encouraging hand to needy youth, a helping hand to the needy. And I think that's a wonderful testimony to the fact that you cannot outgive God, because his efforts have expanded and grown. He's reached more people. He's brought people to the ministry. He's reached kids who would normally be down on the poorer part of the street, brought them to know the Lord. And he's given it all, not dollars. He's given his time, his talents, and his effort. But truthfully, all of us in this room are not needy. We are rich. We may not be rich in the bank, but we are rich in disposable income compared to so many people in the world. We're rich in disposable time, which is just as valuable. We're rich in disposable talents. We live, though, in an age of selfishness. The theme, we will overcome, we don't really believe. What we really mean is, without anybody else listening, I will overcome if I get a chance. It's not I. It's we. We take care of ourselves. We tend to distrust others. We honestly live in a selfish age. And when you're selfish, you're self-conscious. How does a self-conscious person with many talents get started on giving? Well, I've written down four things. The first thing you do is you don't wait for the band to play. If you're going to give something, you don't need an audience, you certainly don't need musical accompaniment, and you don't expect to get it in the newspaper. Do it secretly. The Lord loves a secret and cheerful giver. The next thing is, do it anonymously. Try giving something anonymously. It may be a funny kind of thing to do, to drop a poinsettia on somebody's door at Christmas time without a note saying who it's from. You'd be surprised how rewarding it is. Next time you pray, deliberately, don't pray for yourself first. Pray for someone else. It's remarkably satisfying, and it will change your whole attitude from inward to outward. And then as a practical matter, and this sounds preachy, but I'm going to try it on you, because it just is an opportunity to practice something of giving of yourself, has no Christian principle to it necessarily, and that is manners. It amazes me when I go on the Burlington downtown how many people walk through a swing door and let it swing right back in your face. Nobody ever looks behind them. They never see who's coming. They don't hold doors open for people. They don't say thank you to people. I remember in New York, I was staggered the other day. I was down there a month ago, and they got on the elevator before I could get off it. And that is the epitome of bad manners. There is an opportunity for all of us, even if it's only under the guise of the Christmas spirit for the first part of this effort, that you could try improve your outreach in manners to people. Just hold a door open for someone. Don't try and be first. Try thoughtfulness. Over in England, there's a school which I didn't go to, and it's has a motto. Most English schools have a motto which is written in Latin, and the actual meaning of it is somewhat obscure in this day and age. But this Winchester College, if any of you have been to Winchester, has a motto written in English. And I have the motto in our kitchen for the benefit of our boys. And the motto is very simple. Manners maketh man. And there's a lot of merit to that little motto. And if you want to give of yourself, manners is a good place to start. Now, you don't have to list areas of giving and to give of yourself. Whatever your might be, you have something to give. I was trying to think very quickly of what you could give personally within your family. They say that the Christian principles and the golden rule for your children is one of the great things you can give them, the teaching of right and wrong. The best education you can afford is the greatest gift you can give your family and your children. You can love them for all they're worth, no matter what they do, and that's the greatest gift. The incredible thing is, in yesterday's Trib, somebody wrote, "Dear Abby," and there was one letter in there, and it was right on the nail. It was another thing that you could give. And what does the man say? "But more important, I've learned that the greatest gift a man can give his children is himself and his time." But perhaps one of the things that hit me home in this day of divorces and everything else was what a little man said to me the other day. "The greatest thing a father can give his children is his love of their mother." And perhaps that's a thing for deep thought, but there are many things you can give. Your gift may not be the largest, the best wrapped, but I leave you with just one thought. If God owned 51% of the stock, and he owns more than 51% of the stock, but just pretend he had a majority vote, in your family, in your business, and in your life, how would you declare a dividend to the Lord in the form of a gift of your money, your talent, your time, and all your disposable assets? Now, I wonder if you could do something which perhaps you don't do every time you have a breakfast. I thought I'd close with a prayer. It's a curiously Episcopal prayer. I didn't get it from Christ Church. What I think will be nice is if you all held hands around the table and closed eyes, and I'll read this, because it's got a lot of very nice thoughts, which are good for you to think about on the subject of giving. "Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen."